This is After the Polka. Hi, this is Jenny Juristo Morrison. You are tuned to Free 103.9 Internet Radio. This is In Memoriam for Mike O'Neill. Mike O'Neill has been gone for 6 days. So we're just going to play some music.
Let's go. doubt thing would last, 'cause it said so in my horoscope. The days have gone and passed while dreaming away. The light in here is dim, and the room closes in around me. Your picture's hanging loose on a rusting nail.
And this man, he weeps at night, and his head is bowed so.
Under the ground.
3.9 Internet Radio. This is Jenny Morrison with After the Polka, a schizophrenic progressive collective for the discerning ear. And of course, today we are in memoriam for the late Mike O'Neill, having passed away just this past mid-Monday night, July 17th, 2006, age 41. Right now, as we're trying to get some thoughts and feelings from some that knew Mike in everyday situations and had the opportunity to play music together. Everyone who knew Mike had the experience of being at the shows, either on stage or looking up at him or just in the gap somewhere, somehow at the shows, always at the shows. Right now I have Curtis Ross from Tampa Trib. And Curtis, I understand that you worked with Mike for many years.
Yeah, actually, I met him in 1990, basically going to see Monday mornings. He did work at the Tribune and Bureau, and then in 1993 he became the Friday Extra events editor, so we worked pretty much side by side until just a couple of months ago.
That's incredible. I know with just the rhythm, you know, there's this whole other thing about being a co-worker. There's this thing. You know, it's all about proximity. And, you know, there's people that I've known in my life because, of course, I was in Florida. And I had people, I mean, they meant the world to me. They were my coworkers. And then I moved to New York, and of course, I've never called them again, right? It's just that, you know what I mean? It's just that entire, it's such a part of your daily experience to be near him. This has got to be an absolutely overwhelmingly bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't really know what to say about it. I've got, fortunately, I've kind of been just throwing myself into my work and my family and just, I guess, you know, at some point I'll have to deal with this, you know, but it's been very hard this week. I mean, he was a, you know, a huge presence around here, I think, you know that, just for anyone who followed the music scene, and then also had a relationship with him as a friend and as a coworker, and, yeah, it's pretty tough.
I think the words are right. If I was going to pick two words, I definitely think huge presence in so many senses is really on the money, which just makes this so ridiculously, it just makes this a very, very bad scene. But one thing that we are doing, since we can't go around, like I said, I can't look in any crystal balls, I don't have any answers, but I will say this much. Mike greatly affected all of us. He did make a difference, and I know that I'm just asking for people to tell stories, you know? You have something from a story.
Yeah, actually, I've got a few, and just a couple to kind of illustrate just, you know, what kind of guy he was and what kind of friend he was. I know I make a trip several times a year to visit my parents, and I'm married now, so I've got, you know, a wife and the kids, and the car does not lack for noise, but, you know, for a while I was traveling alone, and he would, every time I went, he would always, before I'd leave, he'd always hand me a mixtape he'd made for me, you know, and he turned, you know, that's just one of the ways, he turned me on to so much music. I mean, I'm a huge music fan, but he was just, you know, amazing. It would just turn me on to so much. And I remember another time, this a Christmas when I had to work and couldn't go home, so he invited me out to his house for Christmas. We had a Christmas night on GM where basically we all showed up and played Velvet Underground songs for hours on end, and we joked the next day about needing a fix because we'd been playing heroin and waiting for the man and, you know, kind of getting a contact high.
I think this
will be one story that you won't hear from anyone else. I actually took Mike to the beach once, and if anyone knows Mike, he was not the most Floridian person you might know.
Okay.
You know, somebody pointed out, he actually made a bet with someone once that if he lost, he was going to wear shorts, and he did not lose that bet. And I don't think he would have taken it if he thought he was going to lose. But the Tribune actually threw a little, some sort of employee beach party picnic sort of thing, and at Apollo Beach, and I think there was free food and possibly beer involved, so it was a Saturday afternoon, so we decided to make the drive down, Mike and I, and Mike dressed like he always dressed, which is basically a T-shirt, a button-down shirt over that, wool flax, and at this point he was wearing Hush Puppies all the time, and that's exactly how he went to the beach, too, and I'll never forget the sight of those Hush Puppies going across the sand.
That was
Mike. He wasn't going to, alter that for any, just because the terrain was a little different.
That is a beautiful story, and I even add on top of it, I picture him also with, a light coat. I actually see him in, a slight blazer type thing on top of that.
I think he might have left the coat at home that day, but this was July, and he was.
Okay, only excuse then, because, he's such a permanent fixture for so many reasons, and I do have him full on hair, glasses, the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
not the whole thing. I want to thank you very much. Thank you very much, Curtis Ross. I know this is an extremely mournful time, and it's hard for everyone, and what we need to do is we got to celebrate Mike. That's what we have to do.
Yeah, and I appreciate the opportunity, too, because I have to say most of my memories of Mike are really good.
That is beautiful. Thank you again.
Thanks, Jenny.
Bye-bye.
Ain't it my fault? Treating me cold. Where can my baby be? Lord, no one knows. Ain't it my heart? Just won't let me sleep. Where can my baby be? Lord, where can she be? As the game gets tough, baby, won't you come?
back, come back, come back, baby. A little pain in my heart just won't let me be. Wake up a restless night, Lord, and I can't even sleep. Scientist rock. First I was Deep Bloom, Jared Hell, Joe Strummer, good old John Doe, me and Mike Watt just playing his guitar.
Loves.
Mike, how are you doing?
I'm good.
You're good?
How are you, Flea?
I'm very good. And you've brought a lot of equipment in here. You've got...
Several people are here. Keith Bartlett plays the bass. He's over there.
Hi, Keith.
Hi.
See him?
Yeah, I can see him. He's at the ready. He's hunched over, ready to go.
Ed Lowry needs to say some words.
Several, to be exact.
It's his big birthday today.
It's also Ray Charles' birthday today.
Oh.
Wow.
It's Ed, Ed Bruce Springsteen.
How many did Frank go?
And
wow.
One of the Kelly sisters.
Ida DeFranco, really?
Yeah.
Wow. And one of the Kelly sisters and Natty Moss Bond.
Today's a very
And Bobby day. Neely.
Holy cow. Everyone's having a birthday. I feel kind of left out because it's not my birthday.
Yeah.
So you guys are here to play a little music, a little preview for the show. It's called Bonkade, Happening Tonight. Why don't you go right into a song? We'll talk more about this after the music.
All righty.
Take me on your holiday or take me to the church. Make me your servant or swing from somewhere else. Kick me out and up and down and kick me around town till it hurts. These are the unrequited loves. These are the unrequited loves. Make me extraordinary in that ordinary way. Let me give you all the shabby treatment you can't take. Cause I cannot get interested in a single thing that you say. These are the unrequited loves. These are the unrequited loves. These are the unrequited loves. About the back doors and the dead cigarettes that you run. I saw you out the front hall, you were going out to get, then you were gone. Uh-oh. You were all gone. I know you when you was a just too. I know this little bookmark of it worth this kind of world. And now I don't know how to say the world. I still love more than I never knew. These are the unrequited loves. These are the unrequited loves. These are the unrequited loves. I smell you out the back door and then you lift that cigarette. I tell you what, the front hall you were going out to get. You're all gone. And I don't want to know his name. Oh, how I look the same. It's how he did it before. And you don't want my pretty face. Don't feel my warm embrace. Just as it would not before. These are the unrequited love. 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 These are the unrequited loves, the unrequited loves. These are the unrequited loves, unrequited loves.
Yes.
One like, man clapping.
Whew.
Yeehaw.
You know, I'm guessing that's called We Are the Unrequited Loves?
No, it's called These Are the Unrequited
These
Loves.
These are.
Well, and it's not about the band.
It's
See,
not.
That's an important thing to get out there. That, no, it's not about the band, though.
I was going to say, it reminds me of, you know, We Are the Monkees.
Kind
of
like that.
Okay.
Yeah,
you got to have a song
were,
about
they
yourself.
They were the Monkees, and we are the Unrequited Loves, but not These Are the Unrequited Loves. That's different.
Those
it's
are.
About the concept. Of unrequited love.
Those were wow. The unrequited love.
So
no, it's in the present tense as well. We're still getting all this hammered down, but I know it all in my brain.
I think you need to get it written down so that we can send it out to people. Put it on a website, the whole explanation of how it works and how people fit into it.
We'll give them a transcript of this little exchange here.
Very good.
But supposedly the first 30 people there that pay to get in or
Not
whatever.
Not supposedly.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. Well, I want to make it sound more casual, so yeah. It's an experimental series. Not commercial music. But this is, I guess, a little more commercial rocky than they usually do. But anyway, yeah, the first 30 people get either a T-shirt or a CD.
Their choice.
Doors at 7, music promptly at 8.
You're going to be on at 8 o'clock.
Yes.
Kind of the opposite of what you normally do. You used to go on one of the last
At
bands.
8 a.m.
8 a.m.
Yeah. Keith?
What about the graveyard first 30 people that aren't paying?
Those people should not be asking for the free gifts. See?
I'm glad we got that clarified, though. People
Keith
might show up.
Keith isn't going to be there tonight, though.
Keith's going to lawyer school. He's checking out the
I
loopholes.
I believe that might be it.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Ed.
What do you get if you bring a canned good?
Why, there's you give it to the guy at the door, and he will put it in his bag.
Okay.
Friend.
Cool.
It's your birthday.
Yeah, well.
Hey, aside from that.
You want to play another song?
What are you doing?
I want to, because I have a drummer here.
You have a rock and roll joke book.
Rock and roll joke book. This is, well, some of it's funny, some not so much. Dave Marsh and Kathy Goldmark.
Dave Marsh
is pretty
funny.
Book, the great rock and roll joke book, just chock full of jokes. So while you're here, you know what I need, right?
I got your back.
Okay, you ready for this? What's the difference between a guitarist and a mutual fund? The mutual fund will eventually mature and start making money. So let's get some calls. You want to hear more of these jokes or more music?
No. Both. You could tell them over the music.
Okay.
I have a drummer one.
Okay.
What's the drummer one, Keith?
Is it dirty?
How do you get a drummer out of your house? Pay for the pizza.
Pay for the pizza.
Pay for the pizza.
All right, one more.
I think he messed it up.
Jim Pettigo joke.
Oh, it's a Jim Pettigo
Here's one more. What does Kenny G say when he gets into an elevator? Wow, this place rocks.
Brother.
Oh, that's good. I just got that one.
Oh, man. Oh.
One more?
You can do a song.
Well,
one more.
Because it's going to make your music sound better, these bad jokes.
Yes, it will. Hey, later we're going to play recorded stuff. You could, read those over our studio recordings.
I would not mar your recordings with these jokes.
No, then just the live thing. Then.
What would it take to reunite the Beatles?
Three bullets.
There you go.
I should have gone in on that, actually.
I saw that one had been highlighted, so I memorized it. I don't really swing with that joke, though, you know.
You want to go
cool,
on record.
Man, to kill the other Beatles.
Why don't you play a song?
Okay.
What do you think? Relieve people of this misery.
No, we'll play an original by us. It's going to be called Chewing Gum. This was the bouncer at the old Act 4. He bounced us out, he could not bounce us no more. Till there it was calling at our front gate. Cooking enough still, but one another we got straight. Take me out, turn around now. I'm not for you now. There's two things I won't allow. Cause you throw me out like chewing gum. Then spit me up and taste me up some more. It's a hell of a time to show up and to share the love. Once it was unbearable, but now it's just too much. There we were standing on our front line. Setting your life on this, but not for long. I'm not for you yet. There's three things I can't forget. Cause you found me down to a lonely place. I'd dry in the sun and go to waste. I'm not for you still. There's three things I can't tell. So you throw me out like chewing gum. Dance.
Pick me up and take me up some more. Thank you.
You're tuned to the internet reincarnation of After the Polka. This is Jenny Juristo Morrison, and this is Free 103.9 Internet Radio. Today, for Mike O'Neill, I'm playing songs that I'm compelled to play or have been led to play. A lot of artists that are Mike's favorites, as well as hearing some of Mumbling Mike yourself. The Replacements with Within Your Reach. Before that, we heard their Bonk Aid promotional stuff from M&F Radio. They performed as the Unrequited Loves, singing the songs These Are the Unrequited Loves and Chewing Gum. Love that line in the about the bouncer from Act 4. I mean, talk about taking you back. Act 4, that's where I interviewed Kim Gordon in the Act 4 women's bathroom. You know, take me back. Somebody please take me back to 92 and 93. And before listening to Mike at length, we heard History Lesson Part 2 from the Minutemen, a live recording. Pain in My Heart from Otis Redding. Words from Curtis Ross. And before that, we heard some of Mike's ultimate favorites that, in great, great indebtedness to Rami Johnson, Rami giving me this material and explaining to me Mike's favorites. For example, his incredible collection of Dutch beat music. He's like, who finds this stuff? And one of the Dutch beat songs we heard was from The Outsiders, and it's called You Mistreat Me, and that was just after the Rudy Can't Fail. And Rami explained that is a favorite Clash song of Mike's, and he named his dog Rudy. We heard Mike singing with Monday Mornings with Place in the World, and before that was I Want to Sleep in Your Arms by Jonathan Richman and the Modern Lovers. We're going to listen to as much music as we can and getting some great thoughts from some friends, a lot of peeps I knew back in the day, and this whole week, the past 5 to 6 days, I have just entered this vortex of remembrance and things not accomplished and things I should have said to Mike in particular. What a huge regret. I don't think he ever really knew how much I valued him, so there you go. You hear that stuff all the time, don't you? I'm going to be playing songs that I'm compelled to play. This is one of them, and we're going to hear from some more friends and, more of that thing. Thank you so much for tuning in to the memorial for Mike O'Neill.
I am a child in these hills. I am away. I am alone. I am a child in these hills. And looking for water. And looking for life. I have come to these hills. I will come to the river as I choose to be gone from the house of my father. I am a child of these hills. I am a child. I am away. come to these hills. I will come to the river as I choose to be gone from the house of my father. I am a child of the hills. I am a child. I am a child. I am a
Lunsford, of course, pretty seriously seminal Tampa Bay Area figure for years and years, and through the 90s, of course, as I knew best when I was in that area. And of course, now we're Tampa transplants. We're out and beyond, you know, shredding and shedding our tunes in different parts of the world. And Chris, I thank you so much. I really needed your help to actually compile this show today. You and, my God, Rami from the Trib, forget it, just basically did the show, and I'm extremely grateful. Obviously, this is a very, very upsetting time, but I know that you knew Mike very, very, very intimately for years, and I don't know if you give it kind of like a short description, I mean, of course, of your connections with Mike.
Sure, Jenny. Played in bands with Mike for about 3 or 4 years, about 4 different bands. We actually started his last band together, and we're quite in love, and started the Crypt Kicker 5 together, and played in Nailbiters, and he's also the best man at my wedding, and pretty good friend, and...
Yeah, that's, you know, when you hear, just when you describe all that, it just sounds so voracious. It just sounds like this all-consuming fire, like this, you know, it's all about the shows. I think that's my, like my subtitle of this, is that it's all about the shows. I mean, I always saw Mike at the shows, and he was either doing one, producing one, getting one together, making somebody else do something they never thought they could ever do.
Yeah, he was crazy about the music, but the hand-in-hand with that is, I think it was all about, and I think everyone could see it when he played or just hang out with him, the generosity of his soul. He would just give anything for anybody, you know. And
then it's all about his heart, too.
Yeah. Just like, he was best man at the wedding, and I wish I could remember exactly what he said, but he gave the longest, most seemingly like rambling toast, and just kind of entertained the families and friends and made us all, he pretty much touched our hearts with what he said. I wish I had it written down somewhere, but, and then it wasn't really, like after I moved on from playing in the Love, and kind of lost touch with him, and then I was talking to my friend Bobby, he said that's kind of what he does, he kind of pushed people away he cared about, and but it was something I talked to my dad about after this all happened, and Mike O'Neill at my wedding went up to my dad and had a conversation, something like Lunsford changed my life and helped me out with some stuff just by playing in the band and being there, you know, every night, and I don't know, that pretty much sums it up for me, like just what kind of a person he was, you know, he was always had a good word for friends and was always willing to do anything.
That's really incredible. It's like these surprises, you know. You don't necessarily know that he's saying that to your dad.
Yeah, I mean,
he's like a covert operator.
Covert operator of love and compassion.
That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. You know, I think everyone is grateful that you immediately, in your manner, in your way to deal with this, nothing short of an absolute crisis is that you put together the MySpace, Mike O'Neill MySpace immediately, and we're really grateful for that because, I mean, just to see the cross-sections of humanity that are leaving messages at the site, as well as his nieces and stuff, you know, that just, it's unbearable. So I thank you.
I like to think of that as, like, everyone's site. I mean, I definitely put up the first day and got the ball rolling, but, I mean, it might have been for more selfish reasons. I couldn't really be there, go down to any of the memorial shows or anything. But I had the worst 2 days of my life this week, and just through talking to friends and ex-bandmates and family, and just the most amazing things that are written and still being written, and pictures coming in. You know, I got the ball rolling, but really now it's in everyone else's hands. It's just become this thing, and I was kind of unsure whether it was the right thing to do, but it's turning out, it seems like it was a pretty good thing for a lot of people.
It is turning out that way, and I really hear you, because it's right down to, like I was telling you, had a whole mix-up trying to, like, cover a song in a hurry with my husband. We're like, we got to do this song, I got to do this song, you know, Meant for Better, and it's like, no, you know, just chill, relax. I mean, the reason the site flowed and worked, and the reason that the site is there is because it's the right thing. I don't think you misstepped there at all, so I'm grateful. And I know when you're in the midst of that in passion, you can really be screwing up. And and I completely really feel and understand that, and I want you to know that I feel it's the right thing. So, and I think it's helpful, and I think everyone's getting something out of it. So what's the specific URL? It is, can you spell it?
I don't know that type of stuff. I'm kind of a technophobe.
Oh, well, I guess it's MySpace.com/ I think it's myspace.com/. I think it's MikeOnIell.
Yeah, if you take that spelling and if you just search under music, go to music, search in the music section for Mike O'Neill, pop right up. It's only one.
It's going to pop right up. Well, Chris, I want to thank you very much. And I think it's entirely impossible and ridiculous to say, do you have a favorite song, a time that you were on the stage? It doesn't necessarily mean that you're playing with him, either on the stage or in his vicinity or in his environs or on his mind.
What just popped in my mind and what's really funny is there's a song that he on the Nail Biters, Every Wasted Second Gone. No, I'm sorry. It's on Nail Biters Unsorted, the one where the previous one. But it's a song called Every Wasted Second Gone, which Mike plays by himself. And we always tried to replicate it with the full band later, but it always sounded terrible. But so I just have to say probably Every Wasted Second Gone right at this second.
Well, thank you so much, because I don't know what the deal is, but I really missed out on the Nail Biters, and I've just been, you know, with your help and Rami's, and I had downloaded and listened to him doing that version. Oh, my God. So,
well,
you're right on the money.
We've got two CDs, and, you know, if anyone needs one, they can write in, and, you know, we'll burn them a copy.
That's fantastic, Chris. Thank you so much, and if I was there, I'd be holding you, okay? I'd give you a big hug.
Hey, can I say, like, one more quick thing?
Yes, you may.
I had a lot of people I've talked to ask, like, what could I have done or anything like that, you know, what could I have said? And some friends, I don't know if I want to name names, but they were even thinking about staging an intervention, except that they knew, in their words, was hell-bent on destruction. And I just have to say, you know, Mike is definitely one of the most beloved people I've known, and for everyone out there who's listening, he felt the love, and that's one thing I know, because every night people are out there supporting him and hugging him and, you know, listening to him, and I think he knew it. That's all I want to say. I think he knew he was loved, you know.
And that's that. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Jay, thanks for doing this. It's awesome.
Thank you. Thanks, Chris.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, hope I see you soon.
In Memoriam for Mike O'Neill. In this past set, we heard, we started out with Jackson Browne's I Am a Child in These Hills. Mission of Burma, Forget, that was certainly a band that Mike was always, he was calling after the polka, always calling for Mission of Burma. And can't you just hear Mike doing Forget? The interview with Chris Lunsford into Nail Biters, Mike's performance of Every Wasted Second Gone, and then the cover of the Brogues' 60s garage rock hit, I Ain't No Miracle Worker, Miracle Worker covered by the Nail Biters, and finishing with The Left Bank, I've Got Something on My Mind. I'm going to go into, I got a request from Tom Rowe back in the day. Good old Tommy Rowe was working at the Creative Loafing, and we all met each other. I know I met Mike at like the same time I met Tom. It's the same time I met everybody. It was like 1992 and 1993, and Tom had he had sent in a request, and so I'm going to play his request and then go into a few words from Tom on this memoriam for Mike O'Neill on After the Polka. This is Free 103.9 Internet Radio.
Let me be your warning light. Tis you like a true one. Take the time to show your mind, and I'll be blooming in the dark. While you sleep, you'll see me then. Clouds race across the sky. Close your eyes. Don't ask why, and I'll be blue in your eyes. Morning comes and sleeping's done. Birds sing outside. If demons come while you're under, I'll be blue in the sky. Let me be your one light and live you like a true one. Take the time to show your mind, and I'll be.
I met Mike O'Neill when I was young and stupid in my early 20s, and I guess he was kind of the best role model I could have had. I think he, more than anybody else, probably taught me how to be an adult and how to be straightforward with somebody and call them on their bullshit and be honest, and just by example, because that's how Mike was. I can think of all kinds of great memories from the early 90s, from hanging out with him and Karen Collins at their house near USF. Mike walking around outside the house with his acoustic guitar playing Blue Moon by Big Star is something that I'll never forget from those days. Watching the Clarence Thomas Anita Hill hearings. all of us just completely outraged. And you know, I don't remember when I met Mike exactly, but I'm sure he remembers exactly when he met me. I was a young, stupid kid. We just made some incredibly stupid mistake and something horrible and mean to someone else, and was kind of inconsolable about it and started drinking for the first time. And I guess Mike noticed, and eventually we became good friends, and he was trying to help. I don't know what I'm kind of babbling or rambling on here, but he had this song called Well Enough to Say that was all about him and how he wanted to help someone who he didn't really know but was obviously dealing with some horrible demons. It's something like, I've seen you out, seen you laughing with your heart. Then the darkness grabs a hold of you. I have seen it, and I vow to save your life. But that is just not like me. And I wonder why, and I justify, but I just keep on walking. Some other time, I'll be your ally. I don't take this stuff lightly, but there's one convention I can't always shake. I know you, but not well enough to say. That's how it sort of goes. I guess he eventually got to know me well enough to say, but I just can't believe the world is without Mike O'Neill anymore, because he was just the best. He was the stand-up person, and I wish he was still standing up now, and I wish somebody, I wish he was still standing up. I don't know.
madness says I should turn the other way. That's just a way to handle this. We all have one. Who am I to interfere? Leave that to your real friends. What a shame it is. It turns out that you didn't have one. Some other time I'd be your ally. I don't take this stuff lightly. But the fun convention I can't hold shape. I know you, but not really enough to say. Some other time I'd be your ally. I don't take this stuff lightly. But there's one convention I can't hold shape. I know you, but not really enough to say.
We're going to switch out with the guitar, get Karen back on bass for the last selection since I started hating people.
Born in the shape of a bird, came down at night. Took a long, dark stretch of Mississippi mud. Thank you.
9 o'clock and June the 23rd. I want to wish you a happy birthday. Have a nice time yesterday with you, and happy birthday, darling. Just a minute.
Hi. Yeah, I want to wish him a very, very happy birthday, and that you relish all your accomplishments and your talents. Okay. Love you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, my sea star. Happy birthday to you. Yeah, it's just another notch on the belt. 29 years. Don't let it get you down. It's the beginning of a whole new era in your life. Wish I could be with you today, but I'm sure we can go to the park in the future and hang out with each other again. I just wanted to wish you a happy one today, and speak to you soon. Bye.
Happy birthday.
Good.
On the line, you might be aware of Camp Hiawatha. A lot of the recordings, if not all, were that Mike O'Neill put out. A lot of the CD stuff and even stuff that cassettes that he was handing to me on occasion might have been somehow engineered by Steve or inspired. You've certainly known Mike for a long time, right, Steve?
Oh, I've known him for, 20 years probably.
Oh, man.
Long time.
I guess, did he do his, I guess his major, you'd so-call major releases, his CDs, they were all done in your care?
Yeah, I think the three CDs that got released after Monday Mornings ended, the two Nailbiter CDs and then the Unrequited Love CD were all done at my house. Funny story, I think, after I first got equipment to record bands at my house, I was really excited to record Monday Mornings. I was trying to get them to come over and record, and they were all set to do that one Saturday, I think it was. And the day before, the night before they were supposed to show up, they broke up. Like, that was it. That was the end of Monday Mornings. And so I never got to record them. But shortly thereafter, of course, he formed another band with Jordan Canley and Fred Stoltz for Monday Mornings, and they called that Nailbiters, and that was the beginning of all that stuff. And
it's very, very good stuff, and I feel dumb and sick and stupid about. I certainly wasn't in the area and was highly self-absorbed in other things. And I am just entrenched in listening to this stuff, and it's well produced, and it's great stuff.
Yeah, that first recording, the sort of the Red Nailbiters album, that we all call it that. I don't know why. I guess because it's red. But it was funny recording that thing because at the time Mike would not sing a vocal without a guitar in his hands. So he insisted that not only did he have a guitar in his hands when he sang the vocals, but he had to hear his amplifier very loudly in the room with him, too. So we had fits, you know, trying to record that thing, and he was overdubbing vocals, but he had a loud guitar amplifier happening at the same time.
When he was overdubbing?
Yeah, he had to have it that way. He wouldn't do it any other way.
Oh.
And it was, you know, of course, torture for me to have to do that, but in the end, the whole proceedings, you know, ended up with that sort of sound of this extra echoey guitar in the vocal track. So it was deliberately, I think, designed to sort of smear or obscure a little bit the sounds of the vocals. But that's what he wanted. I mean, that's the sound that he wanted to hear in his head, and maybe the sound that he heard when he recorded things on cassette tape at home, or I don't know how he ended up with that, but he wanted that to sort of be the pervading sort of sound.
That is so interesting. It's like a magic thought. Just something about it. Wow. Yeah. Somehow needing to be enveloped by. It's like he needed layers. I'm thinking of the glass menagerie right now. Don't ask. but he needed layers.
Yeah. No. There's no doubt. He wanted all of those things to happen at once. And he had headphones on his head, but they were the loudest headphones that I had, and turned up just ridiculously loud. He had the most powerful ears. I mean, in the sense that he could take the loudest levels of sound, and yet still seemed never to, over all the years that I knew him, he never seemed to go deaf or have any hearing problems. He could hear everything. He had an incredible ear, and yet wanted the sound to be just painfully loud, you know.
Yeah, I'm in shock with that because I'm entirely losing my hearing from all of that.
Right.
From
me
all
too.
Of those years. Yeah, I mean, I met him. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, you know, it was 14 years ago. So yeah, it was 92. It was 92.
Yeah.
That was.
I don't remember any exact dates, but another fun story from that time when we were doing that record. He wanted the sound of like about 10 or 12 guitars on one song, kind of playing the same thing. And I don't have the copy of the record in front of me. I could tell you which song it is, but you'll hear it if you listen to the record. But what we did was we went out and borrowed different guitars from people because we didn't want 10 of the same guitar. We wanted 10 or 12, you know, different guitars. So he played all these different people's guitars, you know, on that one song. And you can definitely hear it, I mean, because of course you can never get guitars exactly to be in tune, and they're all intonated slightly differently. And again, it's like you said, you know, layers and just this blur of guitar sound, all playing the same part. Yet there's so many of them that it just became this otherworldly sort of sound.
I love that. I had been talking to I talked to Chris Lunsford earlier, and I was just saying I felt like Mike was voracious. Like, you know, it was always music, and it wasn't going to be stopping that.
Yeah.
That's what makes this proceeding very difficult.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think it's entirely impossible to ask people that are such good friends that care so much and have been so involved that you would be able to say, is there a song or... I don't know. Is there a song that you definitely think of when you think of Mike, something you really like?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this today as I was outside, and it occurred occurred to me that hey, wait a minute, he's the guy that wrote Dark Tree Lane, which to me is just the most amazing, perfect pop song. And he hadn't really written any songs quite like that lately, but I think he didn't really want to. I mean, his point had been made back then. I think he very deliberately wrote this very catchy pop song because he could do it, and he wanted to just maybe show that he could do it, and he did it, and then he never did it again. You know, that song is, to me, it's just amazing that it didn't become some kind of hit or something. And that is probably the song that I go back to and think, you know, wow, he was this guy that could do that, and then kind of later chose maybe not to do that. You know, he got more garagey sounding, or he got a little bit more experimental, but he could do that. And, you know, I think he could have done it at any moment. He could have written another Dark Tree Lane or a really catchy song like that.
Yeah, I believe it. I was listening to it today, and I'm like, wah, definitely. And I actually adore these bookends of his existence, you know, the fact that he could be so directly poppy, and then just other things are like, it's just like a blended, some kind of monosyllabic, caveman thing.
Oh, yeah, well, I fought with him a lot about the intelligibility of the lyrics, and you know, I would try to do things. I even bought a piece of equipment just so that I could sort of get him. You know, I call it, to this day, I call it the articulator. I mean, that's not really the name of the device, but it's a thing that actually will take certain frequencies of the vocal and kind of clarify it a little bit in a way that it's not so muddy. And my thought was, oh man, if he's going to mumble, I'm going to unmumble. You know, and I tried, but it, you know, of course, that doesn't work. But I definitely struggled with him off and on because the lyrics are so good. And not everybody's going to sit there with a lyric sheet and read it, although I'll tell you, if anybody's listening to this and they have any of these recordings or they have access to them, you have to see the lyrics because, you know, they're hard to understand, but you have to see them and understand them to really get how good these songs are.
Oh, there should be something like that come about where the lyrics are readily visible somehow. I think that's... You know, I guess perhaps it's on all of the CDs. Is all of it there, or would we have to go about making it more visible?
It's definitely on the first two. I don't know. I don't remember it being on the third one. I don't think there's a lyric sheet on the third one. The Unrequited Loves CD is the third, and I don't think that there's a lyric sheet with that one.
Yeah.
But again, you know, you have to have them.
Enough said. Thank you so much. This is a very difficult time, and it helps to celebrate them.
It does. And I don't know if do you have any more time?
I most certainly do.
I just want to say one thing. And you know, everybody's talking about Mike's music, and of course it was great. But the thing that I really remember most about him, and maybe because I was involved, you know, with the music part so much, I took it for granted a little bit. But he really was the best friend a person could have, and I mean that in a way. You know, I was never nearly as good a friend to him as he was to me. And to so many other people, where if he saw somebody that had the slightest need of any kind that he could help with, you know, he did it. And he didn't. He very selflessly helped people through hard times over and over again. And just so many examples of that kind of stuff from him. And that's the thing that I really am going to remember about him, is that he set an example, you know, for how to be a friend to somebody. And none, I don't think any of us really could live up to that. So good at it.
Well, you will be pleased to know that has just been the resounding, that has been it, that has been the statement, that has been it, because here I am, I'm chest deep in the music, because it's how I can handle the situation,
right?
And I am repeatedly redirected to realize he gave so much support. He was such a support to so many.
He really was.
So thank you again.
Well, thank you, Jenny.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Good night.
Dark tree lane, instead of trying to clear it. a long time to
Ah, boy, that's heavy. You are tuned to the ongoing After the Polka here on Free 103.9 Internet Radio. This is Jenny, and I want to thank you, and please stick around for a short while longer. We are going long, and got a few heavy things left to do, and this is in memoriam to the late Mike O'Neill. It's been a long 6 days. The Zombies there with This Will Be Our Year, and you might have shook your head a few times and got the wax out of your ears with the song before that, realizing that that is an unreleased Mike O'Neill, unofficial title By Our Wits. And, of course, we heard out of the Steve Sechrist interview, we did hear Dark Tree Lane, and that boy is a mumbling in that one, and you know, I do need the lyrics on that one. The final recordings of Mike O'Neill, I was very lucky to get, you know, just with the technology that we have today. Yay! It took some doing, but getting some MP3s via Camp Hiawatha. And I'm very grateful. I do have some final recordings of Mike O'Neill in the next 20 minutes or so, just like the one you heard. We're entitling it unofficially By Our Wits. And the final recordings of Mike O'Neill were done in late 2005, so like fall-ish of 2005 or a little later than that, recorded by Blake Masters and Jesse O'Brien, and it was edited and mastered by Blake Masters and Steve Sechrist. And we have a few more that we will play. To tell you a little bit about what was going on before the Steve Sechrist interview, if you can think back, we heard All We Deserve, and that's an Unrequited Love song, and I played that song to promote the Unrequited Loves when I came to town in February of 2005 to perform at the Come the Freak On Festival, and, you know, Mike and the Unrequited Loves played at 6 o'clock that day, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, they had all the draw. Everyone was screaming and yelling, and all the local folks there wanted them, and they played at 6. And all of us who'd come from out of town and all that, you know, we played into the night. But it was just sickening for him to play so early. And they sounded really, really, really good. And I remember that. And I remember playing that song for them. And after doing that, after the polka show in February of 2005, it was the inspiration to start doing the Internet After the Polka. It all came out of Come the Freak On in 2005 that Mike was involved with. And it was the last time I saw him. Before that, we heard Birthday Valentine, a Monday morning song, and a couple of old answering machine things. Don't ask me how I found this. I'm just going through so many cassettes that I just was sneezing, had dust all over my fingers, and opened the big box, the big cassette box that I haven't opened in years, and found, you know, something that said answering machine clips, and found, you know, my stepfather's voice. He passed away in 1995, and here I am finding this cassette with his voice on it. And the whole thing is such a trip. And I was turning 29, and that's when I met Mike, so I had to do that. I had to go there. Before that was Megan Riley with the ballad Boy as a Bird. And I've been working with Megan a little bit. I've been singing backup for her and playing clarinet, and, you know, keeping the flame alive there. She's really helped me, and, you know, instead of doing stuff, you know, keeping my chops. And you know, I had a little set that went on before that that was all around Tom Rowe's remembrances that he recorded. Thank you, Tom. It started with Blue Moon by Big Star, and then Tom Rowe spoke. It went right into Monday Morning's Not Well Enough to Know. And then it was Karen Collins. It was actually the bass player, Karen Collins, performing live on an After the Polka show, I think probably in, I don't know, 93, something like that, performing a Big Star cover, Take Care. And that's really intense. You know, a lot of these things I'm playing, they're on cassette, and some of the fidelity is kind of whack and whatever, you know. But to hear Karen's voice saying Take Care is just too much. And I realize some of this really has been too much. And it does feel, in a way, like it feels too soon, too. You know, like I played a whole bunch of, you know, Mike talking and playing some songs on WMNF because I just needed to. I wanted to hear him going, "We are the unrequited love." You know, I needed to hear that. And I know for some it was too much. And you might have turned away from this show, but hopefully you'll come back to it when you can. But I completely understand. Certainly this week it was a weird and strange and rainy and bizarre and annoying week and upsetting week. And of course, we had an important evening with 100% Storms, the project my husband has. And, you know, we went to the city, and it was a great event. And it was Tuesday evening, and it was the evening that I learned that Mike had passed away. And I was very affected by going to this performance, which was a film, and then it was the ensemble, and I play clarinet, so I'm like sitting there listening to myself playing, which was one total trip. And I was just like in the darkness, just looking at this big screen and looking at my husband, Eric, looking at him up there, just total flashbacks to like Blue Chair and stuff. It was nuts. And the sound was just immense, and it was like this. I'm going to play a small piece from that, from the Voyager selections that Eric was showcasing that night when I was absorbing the fact that Mike was gone. And this is just a piece of the soundtrack of me thinking about just the immensity of kindness that was Mike O'Neill, you know, just immense kindness. Let's see if I can get this to call up. I'm going to play 100% Storms and a few songs. But this is definitely, when I was taking it all in, this is what I was hearing.
gone, gone, the bigger they come, the larger her hand, till no one understand why for so long she'd been gone. And I stood very still by the windowsill, and I wondered for those I love still. I cried in my mind where I stand behind the beauty of those in her eyes. She was long gone, long, long gone. She was gone, gone, the bigger they come, the larger her hand, till no one understand why for so long she'd been gone. And I borrowed a page from a leopard's cage, and I prowled in the evening sun's blaze. Her head lifted high to the light in the sky, the opening dawn.
Talk about staying without telling, playing guitar without yelling. I am solid and struck like an arrow, higher than you, but that seems love. All of our dreams were of no use, all of our dreams were of no use. Tear out the tear and the tissue, all of our dreams were of no use. Passed out and floating in light, she gets full bended, not right. Speedily on without hail, going in ecstasy and ecstasy in jail. And all of our dreams were of no use, all of our dreams were of no use. Tear out the tear of the tissue, all of our dreams were of no use. Laughter in jail, and all of our dreams were
All of our dreams were a failure. Tear out the tear and tissue. All of our dreams were a failure. Wake up, oh, time to bring them out of my life. Take me on your holiday, take me to church, make me your spare metal, play with someone else. Kick it up and down and kick me around town till it hurts. Unrequited love, unrequited love. I noticed that you wasn't in a book, my girl. You were worn by a ray of something in a bleakly colored world. All in one, all in all, never mind, should be yours. I saw you at the front door, you were going out to get to your lawn. You're all gone. Make me extraordinary in an ordinary way. Let me give you all the shabby.
You're tuned to an extended After the Polka here on Free 103.9 Internet Radio. And, yes, that was the late Mike O'Neill. Something about an opportunity to record and the number of times he has performed and sung that song, These Are the Unrequited Loves, again and again and again, like the mantra. Before that, another cut of his with an informal title, All of Our Dreams Were of No Use. The late Syd Barrett in there with Long Gone and 100% Storms ensemble with movement number 3 from the commencement to series for the launches of the Voyagers 2 and 1. And I received so much help for this show, and I want to take a few minutes out to just read a few snippets of things from Rami Johnson from Tampa Trib, a co-worker, great friend of Mike's, and has definitely been the silent partner in this extended episode of After the Polka in honor of Mike. And for one thing, the selection Long Gone, this is what Rami had written to me the other day. He said, "The very first time I ever saw Mike O'Neill perform solo was around 1993, and it was at Blue Chair, and he played this song by the mysterious and troubled Pink Floyd leader, Syd Barrett, who died just last week." It's hard to think of a more appropriate epitaph for this list that he had put together for me. That was the final cut that he put on, was Syd Barrett's Long Gone. And what Rami also did was, he didn't even really believe that he had all of this. So here it is. I'm going to just read his intro, and I'm going to read this list for everyone. Let's see. Let's start it this way. About 4 or 5 years ago, a bunch of us in the office at the Tampa Tribune created lists of the 10 songs we'd want to have with us if we were ever stranded on a desert island, or deserted island, that's how it's written. Yeah, I know, it's a ridiculously cliched, not to mention unrealistic premise, but nonetheless, we somehow managed to get Mike O'Neill to participate in such a cliché. The good news is I made a point to save Mike's list because he always had the most impeccable taste in music. So here is the list. It strikes me that now that this list could very easily have been titled These Are the Unrequited Loves, which of course would later become the title of Mike's final recording. Weird, but not really. Here's the list, and it's going to be 10 songs, and throughout the last 2.5 hours, you've heard a few of them, and we're going to play just a few more. Not every single one of them, but you might recall some of these coming from the list. Number 1, I Saw Her by the Flamin' Groovies. And here's some comments from Rami. It's funny, I always assumed Mike, as a garage rock aficionado, would go more for the tougher, grittier blues rock workouts of the early Groovies catalog. But then he goes and picks a ballad from the jangly, Mercy Beat-inspired Cyril Jordan era. Go figure. Just goes to show what a surprisingly gentle soul Mike hid behind his sometimes gruff exterior. Number 2, It's You, Jonathan Richman. Number 3, Le Temps de l'Amour, Françoise Hardy. Even though he always mispronounced her name, Mike was a huge fan of Françoise Hardy and her ebullient young love pop songs. He listed this one as his very favorite, but with an early incarnation of the Unrequited Loves, he occasionally was known to cover Catch a Falling Star, which is actually a Perry Como song, but Mike always made a point of noting that he had learned it from Françoise. Pain in My Heart by Otis Redding is number 4, a classic and obviously a fitting song right now. Mike loved Otis's voice on this song. Number 5. Rosie, Won't You Please Come Home by the Kinks. Mike was a huge Ray Davies fan, and I remember how flattered and proud he was when a national publication cited the Kinks as a touchstone in a review of his first Nailbiters CD in 1996. In addition to this one, I know Mike was really fond of This Man He Weeps Tonight, another song, another Kinks song that's fitting at present. He would occasionally cover it at solo sets. Number 6, Tears a Go-Go by Charlie Rich. I've never owned anything by Charlie Rich, but I've meant to check this one out ever since Mike first cited it. He turned me on to such great music that it's one of the many things I'll miss. Number 7, There's No Other Like My Baby by the Crystals. Mike adored pre-British invasion girl groups, and the Crystals might have been his favorite.
Number 8, This Will Be Our Year by The Zombies. Easily the most redemptive song on Mike's list, from the band that taught him how to write such achingly gorgeous melodies. Number 9, When You Walk in the Room, Jackie DeShannon. Mike at least once mentioned this as possibly the best song ever written, and there's no denying its genius. He covers this one a lot, too, in his solo sets. I think it's When You Walk Into the Room, I think. When you walk into the room. And number 10 is Young But Daily Growing by Bob Dylan. Dylan was definitely a hero. Mike and I watched Don't Look Back together on multiple occasions, and he covered Tom Thumb's blues with the Nail Biters. All of those comments coming from Rami Johnson. And just this one stray comment that I just wanted to end from Rami's list. This is something that he said. Mike hated to hear his own music, at least in public. And he would even leave the pub. Oh, pardon me, I'm not reading that right. He would leave the hub, possibly his favorite place on earth, if someone put it on. But I know he secretly loved it. So did most of us, but now the tables are turned, sort of. I haven't been able to listen to any of his stuff this week. I tried on Tuesday, and the sound of his voice, not to mention the poignancy of his songs, just killed me. Well, Rami, thanks so much for just opening your heart and your, you know, archives and just going just nuts trying to get this music to this show. You know, I can't say we're in the same continent, not transcontinental. Well, we're in a continent and it's transing on the continent. Transcontinental technological offerings from Rami to get the show together. Thank you so much. I know, a lot of talking here. All right, back to the music. Yeah. You'll hear a few cuts from Mike's Desert Island song list and another old one and another new one as we conclude this extended version of After the Polka here on Free 103.9 Internet Radio.
temps de l'amour, le temps des copains et de l'aventure. Quand le temps va et vient, on ne pense à rien malgré ses blessures. Car le temps de l'amour, c'est long et c'est court, ça dure toujours, on s'en souvient. On se dit qu'à 20 ans, on est les rois du monde et qu'éternellement, il y aura dans nos yeux tout le ciel bleu. C'est le temps de l'amour, le temps des copains et de l'aventure. Quand le temps va et vient, on ne pense à rien malgré ses blessures. Car le temps de l'amour, ça vous met au cœur beaucoup de chaleur et de bonheur. Un beau jour, c'est l'amour et le cœur va plus vite. Car la vie suit son cours et l'on est tout heureux d'être amoureux. C'est le temps de l'amour, le temps des copains et de l'aventure. Quand le temps va et vient, on ne pense à rien malgré ses blessures. Car le temps de l'amour, c'est long et c'est court, ça dure toujours, on s'en souvient. On s'en souvient. On s'en souvient.
You.
forget I wear throughout the day. Well, it's like you said.
Why your father?
final recordings of Mike O'Neill in late 2005. Tell you what this last set was. It started with Rosie, Won't You Please Come Home? You know, your bed is made and your room is clean, but you're not in it. By the Kinks. Françoise Hardy with Le Temps de l'Amour. And Monday Mornings with Honor Is, Something You Wear Like a Shirt. There's a P-Shy demo in there with You Said. A really gruff and rough but heartfelt cassette recording of Monday Mornings' Meant for Better. That little song was meant to be on a CD, but took many a rugged step to actually get on this after the polka today. Meant for Better just stands as it's my favorite Monday morning song. It's something that cut through to me in a live show the first time I saw them, met all them. Live demo cassette there. And, you know, I put on Twang by that Nail Biters record. I'm hoping that Twang is the song with the gazillion guitars in it. Seems to fit, seems to sound that way, as Steve Seacrest explained. So maybe that's right. So Twang from the Nail Biters, and then a magnificent, magnificent gem of a song from the Flamin' Groovies, I Saw Her, one of Mike's favorites, and ending off with a demo of Mike's. She says it's brilliant there. A little bit of lighthearted lilt in there somewhere. I mean, actually, in these demos, there's almost a palpable weariness at times, and some resignation in some of the lyrics, but that one had a little lightness in it to end off our show. It's been a 3-hour after the polka. Thanks to everyone. Thanks to free103.9.org for extending your hours for this and making this happen. And thanks so much for, just getting a chance to talk with Chris Lunsford and Steve Seacrest and Tom Rowe and actually Rami Johnson off mic. And I'm blanking out for some reason. Thank you very, very much to everyone. As well as, we'll do it again, Steve, Chris, and Curtis Ross. Thank you very, very much. I might even get a phone call at some point that I'll just add it at some point in post-production, right? So thanks to everyone. And this is an extremely difficult week, and this is one way of handling it.
Thank you. wish I had.
You are Network.